Welcome, everybody, to the latest All Lions Bang the Table podcast. I am the doc, John McEnroe. Joining me, the writer, the guy, the journalist, Christian Boer is here. My guy that writes for All Lions, does great work, great research, draft analyst, NFL salary cap guy, loves to do the behind-the-scenes work for All Lions, a real asset. And finally, I said, all right, after what, maybe 3-4 years, finally, you can host a co-host a podcast with the doc. We got to talk about the Detroit Lions ahead of the draft, ahead of the Lions uniform reveal. So much to get into, especially with the off-season workout starting. I'm going to enjoy this broadcast with my guy, Christian. What's going on? What's been your sentiment throughout this off-season? I know the draft is super exciting and really the first opportunity that we all get to kind of see how this football team is going to be reshaped after free agency.
Yeah, first of all, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me. You know, I think this is my fourth offseason now, and so to be able to share a podcast with you now is super cool, and I'm excited. But as far as the offseason, it has been an offseason unlike any other, right? Because normally you do not see the Lions coming off of a successful season like they did this year. And so now the expectations are raised. And I feel like now there's so much more attention being paid to the little details, the small moves that they make during the offseason. Just because every move matters now, and every guy they bring in is expected to help them win the Super Bowl in 2024. So for them to be able to make these moves and make these decisions, there's going to be a whole lot more scrutiny now on Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell.
Yeah, it's really interesting that you said that. Coming on the heels of just hearing Taylor Decker, Brock Wright, and Jared Goff speak to the media, it is a little bit jarring at first to realize, whoa, this is a football team now that has realistic expectations to win the Super Bowl. Coming into the start of workouts, how's the team look? You know, it's a big deal. Amon-Ra St. Brown hasn't even stepped foot yet for voluntary workouts. People are paying attention to everything. And it is really fascinating to see this football team from where it was to where it's at right now. And I believe expectations are a great thing. That's what every NFL team should strive for. Every sports team should go into a season having realistic beliefs that they can do some things. And this football team, Christian, you've now seen it. They've been built in a way that the hope level is there, but also it's realistic. Everybody can give lip service before a season and say, you know, our goals are to make the playoffs, get better one day at a time. But for this Detroit Lions football team, you recognize now heading into year four under Dan Campbell and Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn still being around, this is an opportunity to take their game to the next level, which means another deep playoff run, another opportunity maybe to have their first shot to get to a Super Bowl. So to sit here now with these expectations, it's a little bit surprising. And I know Jared Goff said it. He set the tone. He said, you know what? It's time. And he's been there before, so he can easily say it. But it might just take a little extra couple beats for guys like me, maybe you or others, to really let it sink in. This football team has expectations to win the NFC North again and to make another deep playoff push.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, like you said, every team, if they come out in their, you know, their offseason press conferences and their training camp press conferences and say, you know what, we don't want to make the playoffs this year. We don't want to go to the Super Bowl this year. Like, what's that going to do? Everybody says it, but now you're right. You can feel it with this Lions team where that is the expectation, is to go on another deep playoff run. And I think Jared Goff said it best yesterday when he talked about step one is defending the division title. And you've heard that. That's kind of been the common sentiment dating back to last year, where when Dan Campbell was talking about it, he says everything starts with a division. Because you've seen what happens at Ford Field in these big games, in these playoff games. And last year they won the division, and that guaranteed them one playoff game at home. And then you never know. Once you get in, it's not like the higher seeds go all the way and you have to play a game on the road. The way the cards felt last year, the Lions ended up with two home playoff games and almost got a third if Green Bay would have played or pulled off that upset over San Francisco. So, you look at where the Lions could go, and it all starts with winning that division. But you're absolutely right. Those eyes are on the prize now firmly. Jared Goff talked about it at the end of the press conference yesterday when he said only one team can hold up that Lombardi trophy, and we want it to be us this year.
Yeah, it's going to be a wild ride from the start of OTAs to the mini camps, to training camp that's going to take place this summer. It's going to be really a team to watch, especially not only with the eyes locally on the team, but nationally. I think, again, they're going to draw a lot of attention. People are going to pay attention. When the schedule does come out, I expect probably upwards of 3-4 primetime games, a lot of opportunities for the entire country to see this football team, especially when you see the schedule against the 49ers again, against the Texans, the Cowboys. I think a lot of opportunity for the country to really see where this football team is at over the stretch of 17 games. But now we're at the point 24 hours away from the reveal of the new Lions uniform, something that is wild. Everyone online is kind of checking out, looking for leaks, looking for any nugget of information, trying to decipher what a darkened photo could look like. Do the Lions have black involved in their uniform? What do the lettering look like? What are the paint combinations? You know, the alternate helmet. You realize the league came out and said, we can now have three helmets. So there's so many different variables. But Christian, for me, I'm not really invested too heavily in what grown men are wearing out there out on the football field. I'm more invested in the X's and O's, the scheme, the execution, breaking down wins and losses, what the game means regarding the potential the Lions have of winning. But I get it. I definitely love those that are passionate about it. You see the Lions revealing little nuggets along the way. You have a Reddit sub community that's just analyzing every detail. I'm not really all about that. I focus on other things, and that's fine for those that revel in that. But I'm curious your level of involvement. What do you think is going to be the best uniform combination? You had a great piece up at All Lions. You did your research and you investigated and researched and ranked the top uniforms in history. What are your thoughts about the history of the Lions uniform and where it could go to be the sharpest? We do, like Taylor Decker said, you do want them to look cool, but I'm not the arbiter of what's cool. I wouldn't know the difference if it was great or not. You know, I have my preference. My only real preference to me is not to have any black on the uniform. It's not, I don't need the Lions to be a force like that. I'm more definitely into Honolulu blue and silver, maybe with an upgrade to the Lion that's going to be on the helmet. I'm not really a fan of the skinny Lion that was on the alternate helmet last year. But to me, as long as it's sharp, as long as the colors pop out, I think black trim might be okay. But I'm not, like I said, I don't have a bold opinion about what the Lions are going to wear because I have no clue about fashion. That's the furthest thing on my mind is what the Lions are going to look like in their uniforms. How about you?
Yeah, you know, it's tough because you're right. You do want them to look cool, right? And but at the end of the day, you know, like the intrigue will be at its highest when they come out, and then eventually they'll just become the uniforms. But with that said, it is super exciting because it's a new look for a team that, you know, is starting to hit its stride a little bit. And now these uniforms are going to be associated with whatever happens on the field the next couple years. I mean, you want to talk about uniforms, think about the Detroit Red Wings and what happened when they threw that patch on the uniforms, right? So with the Lions, really, I'm looking for kind of a throwback look. Those 90s uniforms that they had were super clean. Very simple design. Again, I'm not crazy about all the you know, bells and whistles, but just a simple design that it's aesthetically pleasing, right? It's easy to watch. And that's why I kind of had a hard time with the silver color rush at the beginning, just because all that silver with the helmet, it was just sometimes hard to look at. But I will say they got a boost when they threw in the alternate helmet with them. I thought that looked was pretty good. But yeah, no, there's nothing too crazy I'm looking for. I know with the leak going around, there's some speculation that there will be a black uniform in there as an alternate. And maybe it's cool. Maybe it's awesome. But I'm kind of reserving judgment on that until I see them. And again, I'm kind of like you in the aspect that I'm not super crazy about the fashion or anything like that. What matters to me is covering the team and seeing how they do on the field. With that said, it is a part of the viewing experience. So it does matter. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what they look like when it comes out.
Yeah, for those that haven't checked out yet, your piece ranking the all-time Lions uniforms, home and away, which one earned the top spot and which ones were the most popular in regards to the uniforms that people really talk highly about?
So I went with the blueberries, number one. And part of it could be recency bias for sure, but that stretch down the stretch of 2020, they're going to be associated with those blueberry uniforms because every big game, that's the Lions look. And they were, I believe, 7-0 down the stretch with those uniforms, including 2-0 in the postseason. So it'll be hard to remember that specific combination associated with anything other than winning, which is super cool. The Thanksgiving throwbacks also, when I was revisiting those ended up ranking pretty high. Again, just a super simple look, but very clean. And, you know, as I mentioned in the story, although that specific uniform combination is associated with all the losing that team has done on Thanksgiving the last handful of years, it's a really clean look. And it's just something that fans are starting to, I feel like, look forward to. And on social media, you know, the week before Thanksgiving, people are clamoring, announce the throwbacks, announce the throwbacks. And then I thought the Madden patch on the jersey was super cool this year as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Uniforms, interesting. People heavily invested. I know why, too. When you're going to potentially invest $80 to $150 bucks on a jersey, you want it to look fresh. You want it to be cool when you rock it all over town at the bar, celebrating when you're visiting family at Thanksgiving, or when you're out and about in town, or when you're traveling and you want to rep the Lions. It's no doubt about it. You want the uniform. To me, it's kind of funny. I've had bad luck with the uniforms that I've purchased. The two that I'm thinking about now that are hanging in my closet, three actually, Joey Harrington, I thought that he had a potential to be successful and didn't go that way. Charles Rogers, clearly with my tie to Michigan State, and, you know, Charlie Batch. I thought that he had the demeanor of somebody that could be somebody that would be embraced. And you realize he moved on to be a really quality backup and a great league analyst. But in his time in Detroit, kind of up and down. So I just kind of haven't really, since that era, I haven't really purchased any jerseys. If you were to purchase one, a jersey now of a player that's on the roster that could be here for many years, that would look probably the best, would it be Hutchinson, Jameson Williams, Jack Campbell? Which one jersey would you buy when the new jersey comes out? Which uniform do you think would represent something that you would be proud to wear around town?
Well, I think it's hard to not start with Aiden Hutchinson, given his local ties to Dearborn and U of M. I feel like he's going to kind of emerge as almost the face of this era with the Lions. If he can continue to ascend in terms of production, you know, he's had two really quality years, but now it's time for that total of sacks and tackles for loss to start to climb a little bit in year three. And then how can you not go with Jared Goff as well? I mean, you saw the fan support at LCA, I think at the Grand Rapids Griffins and Van Andel Arena, just everywhere you could think of the Jared Goff chance. And he's going to be really viewed as, if they're able to get this thing done, he's going to be viewed as a huge catalyst as to why. And then under the radar candidate is obviously Jack Campbell, if he can become that Chris Spielman type of linebacker that you can build around on defense. So those are my, you asked for one, I gave you three, but it's hard to condense it down to just one. With the way the Lions are going and how many good players they have on the roster.
No doubt. You see a lot of 14s around as well. Amon-Ra St. Brown. So there's a lot of uniforms that I think people will be proud to rock. Penei Sewell as well. Heart and soul of that offensive line. So it'll be interesting to see. So I am curious, what was your reaction to Jared Goff's podcast? I know you've seen the reaction. You've seen some of the media pushback. I know you understand what goes on online with the fans. Mm-hmm. Indicating, you know, the media sometimes focuses on the negative, maybe too harsh, too critical. You know, you've seen some of the reaction to some of the columns that have come out in regards to the response. You know, my basic opinion was that I felt like the media has been fair in town with an equal part of positivity and praise for a team that many people thought was going to win the division in 23. Yeah. Many people had them winning over 10 games in 23. And yes, there's going to be criticism of an NFL team that has never appeared in the Super Bowl. So to me, I just looked at it like maybe a little bit Jared Goff being too sensitive in regards to the matter. But he said it. If you recall, he said, maybe I need to get out of my own head that I'm being a little bit sensitive. Mm-hmm. I'm using that as a chip on my shoulder to look at what people say about us and what the perception is nationally, and which is fine. I understand using some things that you perceive as slights as motivation. But at the same token, to just disregard the positive things that have been out there is not fair either. So I didn't have a strong reaction to it. I just defended the fact that I believe that, and you can share your opinion too. Do you feel like all Lions slants and relishes in negativity? I feel like we're equal parts. And that's what's made us successful, is that you can find fact-based articles discussing stats. You're great at analyzing PFF stats and what that means in relation to the product on the field. And at the same token, when the doc is not happy, he ain't shy to share what he's concerned about.
Yeah, you know, I almost think it's sometimes hard for me to stray away from going the other way, because I am such a that's who I am. I'm an optimistic person. But as far as the media coverage, it is, I think you're right. I agree that it's been fair, but also understanding that as an athlete, Jared Goff is also probably pretty intrinsically motivated to where he does need something going to keep him going, right? That kind of chip on his shoulder, like he talked about. And so I do think there's some elements to that. But it's also very selective. Like, they may not be reading everything. They may not be seeing everything. And, you know, in this world today, and it's not just in the world of sports journalism, but in total, it's a lot of negative stuff that people pick and choose, and they kind of are selective with what they see. And sometimes the negative comes out before the positive. So, and you know, it's just kind of the way it is today. And I don't worry too much about it. And he has every right to feel that way. But in my opinion, I agree with you. I think it's been pretty fair. And, you know, there has been some tough times for this organization, but now that it's starting to come around, you're starting to see more of that positivity come out. And not only that, but the coverage of the Lions, I feel like, has, you know, brought in so many more national people with their TV ratings, with how good they've been the last couple of years with Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes and the story there. And so there's just a lot more extra attention. And so I feel like that's kind of hypersensitized the local media, because that's who was there first. And you're seeing a lot more stuff from the local media as opposed to these national NFL writers who are coming in. And so, yeah, you know, he does have the right to be upset about that. And I'm sure that it's a motivational chip. But at the end of the day, I'm not too concerned with it. I think that he, you know, has every right as an athlete to find ways to motivate himself. But yeah, I agree with you. I think that we've been more than fair.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, Christian. You're like, Doc, you can be at the front, take all the daggers. I'll stand behind, write the stories. I'll do the research. Let Doc take all the daggers and stand up for all Lions while you sit back and gain all the glory. I like that. I think that's fair. That's the kind of guy I am. I set the writers up that are here, part of the team, for success, and I'll take all the heat. I'll take all the daggers standing in front of the athletes who are not happy that you wrote an opinion that maybe a player could be on the trade list, or analyzing a PFF stat south of 50 in a way that indicates some criticism. That's fine. I think that's fair. Let me be out in front taking the daggers. Let you shine behind the scenes. I think I'm very noble and maybe deserve an award for how nice of a guy that I am. It's real interesting. It is real interesting to omit some of the positive things that have been talked about with the Detroit Lions, but more positivity is coming. And you know what the biggest positive that people are looking forward to is the draft. I had an opportunity going downtown, went to a Tigers game on Sunday. It was very enjoyable. The weather was beautiful, to sit out in the bleachers, have some cocktails, enjoy a baseball game. I love the new pace of the new baseball games at 2.5 hours. Faster paced. You can follow it a lot smoother. I love the pitch clock. So I had a chance before I entered Comerica Park to check out the design of the stage, to see everything going around. Look, it's going to be a parking nightmare for those trying to maneuver with their vehicle. But I think what you're kind of learning is that if you're going to be around town, kind of use the public transit situation that's down there. Learn all about how to navigate, because there's so many roads that are blocked off, a lot of fences, a lot of things that are going to be probably blocked off that you're not used to, that if you use the public transportation and you're familiar with it, if you familiarize yourself with it, it'll probably make the experience that much better. For me, we have access. We've got a couple seats in the media room. I may on that Thursday just head down there for a couple hours just to see what the buzz is like, and then let Vito take over as he sits there and watches the draft from downtown. I'll be in Allen Park. I'm not much of a guy that wants to be right there in the mix of the crowd.
Yeah.
I felt like covering it from Allen Park has been beneficial for our site, and being, you know, that we got to cover who's picked, and it's going to be a late night to see if potentially the Lions do end up selecting. It'll probably be around 11 p.m. So that will be the kickoff of the coverage, will be late at night. But how are you going to take in the draft? I know you're going to be covering it as well with me. We're going to be in heavy contact. Are you going to peek down there at all in the morning? I know you're not as local anytime in the weekend. I know you do attend a couple of Tigers games here and there. I know it's more of an ordeal. Yep. How much are you looking forward to this draft, and how are you going to take it in? I know you're going to be working. You're grinding with me, but can you put into words how you're going to take it all in, especially with it being here in Detroit?
Yeah, no, I'm super excited for it. Like you said, I'm not as local to Detroit. I'm about two and a half hours out. So what I'm going to do is I set up my own little draft studio in my apartment, with my computers always running. My phone is always plugged in. And then I do have a couple buddies that we'll get together, and I just love talking shop, and they're always kind of, you know, getting on me, who we picking, all that stuff stays close to the vest. And I love that, because not only does it enhance their experience watching it, you know, I don't spoil it for them, but also I kind of have that leg up, whereas, you know, all of a sudden Christian's on his computer, he's typing, what happened? But yeah, it's fun. And we do have like a group that we get together annually and take the draft in. And now as we're getting older, people are starting to move away, and so it makes it a little more special when they're able to come up and taking the draft together. But, you know, it is super exciting to see what's going on. You know, I've been following along, obviously keeping tabs on what's been going on in downtown Detroit. And it should be a really exciting experience. Sounds like they're bringing out all the stops as far as, looks like there's going to be autograph signings. There's going to be photo ops all across town, games for the younger ones. And then obviously the draft feeder where, you know, it's going to happen. And for me, it's so exciting thinking about the Lions sitting there at 29, right? And at first it looks like, oh boy, that's going to be a late night, you know, with how this thing goes. But what happens if Brad Holmes trades up? It's really going to keep us on our toes this year, because I know you are and I am. We're so used to the Lions picking 7. And then they're holding their press conference at 10:30 saying we're done for the day. And it's like, okay, that's an easy night. But now at any point, that notification could go across the ticker where it's Brad Holmes has traded up. The Lions have moved up to 12. The Lions have moved up to 15. Who knows what's going to happen? It's going to really keep us on our toes, and it's a new challenge, and it's very exciting, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Wait, so you're saying that you have the inside scoop on who's going to be taking number 29? Fill me in. I know.
Not yet.
You're the journalist with all the sources. Who's the pick?
Oh, are you asking me to make a prediction? I don't have the pick. But man, they could go so many different ways, and I'm sure we'll get into this more, but there's not, and I've written about this a couple of times, but there's not a clear need where it's the Lions need a starter here right now. I don't see that, because with the trade with Carlton Davis, and even with all the offseason stuff going on with Cam Sutton, you've got two new guys in there. And then you've got safety. You've got two guys in Melifonwu and Joseph who started last year. You retooled the offensive line after Jonah Jackson left, and you brought in Kevin Zeitler. Like, those holes are filled in terms of starting caliber talent. So there's any way they could go, aside from, in my opinion, quarterback and running back are the two that are off limits, in the first round at least. But yeah, so exciting to think about where this team could go. And I'm really excited. It's kind of made me get a little more into the draft as far as my research, whereas there's not positions to target right away. As far as now, you need a wide scope. You need to know all the first round picks. There's nobody that's off limits. You got to really dig in the mid to late rounds to see, okay, where could they go for depth at this position in this round? Where could they go in this round? It's been super fun to really dive in to this year's draft.
No doubt. And we can see your growth through your writing and the way in which you analyze the players, the draft prospects, more than fair, using analytics and film to understand what the players can bring to the table. And that's why you're an asset to all Lions. It's real interesting, too. You're right. It is a lot easier when you're the top 10 and you kind of have a smaller window. Right now, there literally is a dozen players that you believe that if the Lions selected them, probably would contribute and have an opportunity to earn reps, but not needed to start right away. And the competition to get on the field is going to be that much harder for the draft picks in 2024. And that's just a testament to the great work that Brad Holmes has done. And he's been given the credit that he deserves for getting this football team and having a nice linear progression going from a 3-win team to a team 30 minutes away from the Super Bowl. You earn a lot of praise for your picks and how you've operated when you are able to take a team like the Lions and get them to where they need to go. And now the expectation is now that Brad Holmes will round out this roster, improve it. Probably most people think that, yeah, okay, Brad Holmes wants an impactful football player, and they're going to look for good character guys that love football, have a high IQ, and can adapt to a lot of different things that a coaching staff could ask for. But there's a lot of players, I think, nowadays built for that. You look at Darius Robinson, you look at Chop Robinson, you look at a lot of different defensive backs that could come in as well. So to me, let's just not say position, but I'll say unit in terms of, you know, the side of the football the Lions need to target is probably defense. Is when you look at it, they have a lot on offense. Yeah, I understand that those in the know may think that, and it's probably true, that building up the depth, replenishing who will play on the offensive line is going to be very important. But I feel like there's also depth there as well. Some of the high-end talent you're starting to see are getting, you know, looked at for the Lions, like a Graham Barton, in regards to maybe a talented, you know, offensive lineman, Jackson Powers Johnson. If he falls, many people would think that he's a player that the Lions would love and covet. When you look at it, which player do you think, you know, in that mold at 29 fit what Brad Holmes likes? I know you've heard the names, you've seen all the mock drafts. Is there a player that people aren't talking about that maybe could slot in there? I know Peter Schrager had a name that not many are talking about along the interior of the offensive line. I think most people think that wide receiver is an outside shot, but also would not be surprised if it was a wide receiver. Who's some outside the box maybe names or prospects that you say, well, maybe they're not mocked to the Lions, but they kind of fit the grit factor, the player that Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell would covet?
Yeah, you know, I think in terms of my big board, my number one guy for the Lions right now is UCLA pass rusher Leatu Leatu. He is an unbelievably polished pass rusher. And when I'm watching film on him, the amount of moves he has and counter moves, it's just so impressive. And I don't think he can get to the Lions at 29, but man, just the thought of pairing him with Aiden Hutchinson, it's kind of like last year when they went and got Gibbs and everybody's like, what the heck? And then you all of a sudden start to see, oh, wow, he fits really nicely with David Montgomery and that offense. And it's like that pairing would be excellent, in my opinion. So Leatu is my number one guy for the Lions. In terms of other areas and other spots, Cooley McKinstry is one that started to grow on me a little bit, just because I think of the cornerbacks, he is – the most likely of the top to fall to the Lions at 29. And then Ennis Rakestraw, for some reason, has kind of fallen a little bit with his stock. And I know that part of that is for his subpar testing at the combine, but his physicality and his toughness, and I know he doesn't have a ton of interceptions, and it's not like he's a ball hawk out there, but man, when you watch him play the run, he is fun to watch. Kind of reminds me of Devin Witherspoon a little bit in that aspect with the way he comes down and delivers big hits. So those are three guys I've been really keeping an eye on. But again, me, I love offense. I love offense. And I think Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU, the big wide receiver, man, you look at his production last year and all the deep routes he ran and how successful they were getting him the ball down the field. I think that's kind of what they could replace Josh Reynolds with. And then you throw him in there with Jameson Williams and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Man, that offense, I know that offense, and I know sometimes Brad Holmes likes to get a little bit greedy and add those pieces, so I would not be surprised if they go offense in the first round.
Okay, so then, like everybody thinks, if there's a player that Brad Holmes trades up for, I think it probably would be for a lineman. I think Jackson Powers Johnson is a guy that slots in maybe 15 through 25, maybe a guy they go up for. I would maybe be willing to give up assets for Quinyon Mitchell. I think he's the guy that solidifies your secondary in terms of depth. He makes a lot of, really, when you look at his film, he had the opportunity to lock a lot of people down. He's probably overall the number one cornerback out there that I think you would be okay with trading up for. So to me, making a splash is no problem. If they stay at 29 and they go offense, I also would love, as everybody knows, Keon Coleman. You saw productivity at the highest level. Explosiveness would provide competition for Jameson Williams. And I think you make that offense even more explosive for Jared Goff. And like you said, Brian Thomas as well. You look at these receivers, though, you could find a lot of talented receivers later on. So to me,
yes,
who's the guy to trade some capital for if you say, you know what, this is the guy to take a risk on and move up and get.
Yeah, you know, I think there's a couple of different avenues they could go. Number one is the cornerback position. They've got two guys at the very top of the board, in my opinion, and Terrion Arnold and Quinyon Mitchell, who really stand out in terms of production, interceptions, and then also the ability to defend the run. So those are two guys I really like. Also, an interesting piece here would be Cooper DeJean, because Cooper DeJean, in addition to his ability to play cornerback, some people think he might slide to safety, which is an area of need for the Lions. He's also had experience as a return man. And with the new rules for the kickoff, he could be an instant difference maker by taking the kickoffs. He's got all that experience, and he is trouble in the open field in terms of being a punt returner. And in this case for the Lions, maybe being a kick returner with the new rules. So Cooper DeJean is another interesting one to think about. And then, like you said, offensive line, I think, is a prime target for Detroit. And Jackson Powers Johnson is a guy I like a lot in terms of his potential fit with the Lions and being able to slide in at either guard position right away. We've seen it with the Lions the last handful of years. Injuries happen, right? You have to have a sixth, seventh offensive lineman that you feel really good about. And so in my opinion, there would be no harm done by sliding up a couple extra picks and going and getting a guy like Jackson Powers Johnson or even Graham Barton, who is another guy that I like a lot.
All right. Yeah, definitely check out Christian's work at All Lions by visiting si.com/NFL/Lions, or just type in Detroit Lions SI on the Google machine. You can see all his great work. You can see why he's been a valuable asset 4 years. My goodness, a great recommendation. Have to give credit to Evan Petzold. When I asked him, hey, can you give me a name of somebody that would be diligent, that could accept coaching, that could really understand what it's like to work at the NFL level? Boy, man, I can't thank Evan enough. Even though he didn't invite me to his wedding, I get it. I understand. We've only had a handful of conversations, but boy, did Evan really do me a solid by giving me the recommendation of working with Christian. And let me tell you, it's not easy to work in the NFL, and definitely is not easy to work for me. And Christian's been around, and he understands the nature of, hey, we're striving to cover the NFL at high levels.
Yep.
He's been along for the ride, understands what it's like to, you know, have good work, but also at the same time want to do more. Like, we don't sit and clap for ourselves.
Right.
We want to do better. We want to keep it. We want to keep the train moving. We want to keep it moving at a fast pace. And Christian is a real asset. And look, even though I waited a long time to have him on a podcast, you clearly understand he knows his stuff. So I'm happy we'll do this a lot more. All right. One last topic, because clearly we're all looking at contracts. Clearly, most people assume Jared Goff anywhere between $45 and $50 million. But now, just kind of looking at it, maybe Amon-Ra St. Brown is not guaranteed to get maybe as much as he wants. I think the starting point is going to be $25 million a year, and it's a little bit jarring. Yeah. Most fans, I believe, probably will support the decision to pay it, maybe even going up as much as $28 million. I put out a contract number. I think I said 3 years, $112 million per se in regards to a number, I think 3 or 4 years in regards to how long they should commit, and $75 million guaranteed. So I believe the Lions need to commit to Amon-Ra St. Brown. But here's the dilemma when you start. And guys, remember, we are just having basic discussions, speculating a little bit about, all right, you now are in the phase of, okay, you still have a lot of young talent on their rookie deals. But now we're getting into that next level with the Lions. These guys need to get paid. Jared Goff, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Ali McNeil, Penei Sewell, Hutchinson, Campbell. Mm-hmm. So to me, I hate to say it, and look, I'll stand here and own it, but to me, just early on, it kind of seems like, you know, Jameson Williams might be the odd man out. He might be the guy that maybe Brad Holmes says, I can go replace, in that, you know, he hasn't been all that productive just yet. Yeah, you can't teach that speed, but at the same token, there are more well-rounded wide receivers that have the potential to go out there. And you see it now, teams, I think, are not committing as much to receivers and running backs. They're kind of more interchangeable. And maybe you now look at an offense that maybe focuses more on the tight end position, the running back spots in terms of receptions, maybe more role players. Maybe they don't want. Could you imagine two receivers on the Lions making $25 million plus? Would Jameson Williams, you know, because we all expect he's going to burst out. We all expect he's going to be a player. that's going to be a target, a deep threat, and a player that will really help this offense. It has to be in 2024. He's got to take strides forward. But when you look at it early on, am I out of bounds by saying that my early thought would be the odd man out is potentially going to be Jameson Williams? Because wide receiver, you can find replacements in the draft. And I think that St. Brown is probably viewed as more of an organizational priority than Jameson Williams is right now. Now, could he emerge with 12, 13 touchdowns this year and have, you know, my opinion fall by the wayside? It could. I'm openly admitting this take could be wrong. But right now, as we sit, I think the name that you look at, the competition for Penei Sewell is going to be really high. I think he's going to set the market. Yeah. So Aiden Hutchinson sets the market. Two players making $25 million on your offense sounds like a luxury. And you're not even talking yet about Sam Laporta in 3 years. So I just think that, am I wrong? Am I out of bounds for saying maybe the odd man out is Jameson Williams?
Well, I think that Jameson Williams can still have a really good year this year, and I don't think he's going to command $25 million. Because the thing is Amon-Ra St. Brown is commanding what he's commanding because he's had two consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. His rookie year, he almost got to 1,000. I mean, you're looking at 3,500 yards, an all-pro selection, two Pro Bowls. That, to me, is worthy of every penny you pay him. Now, the Eagles put him in a tough spot when they handed out $25 million a year for Devontae Smith. So that drives the market up. And now, all of a sudden, St. Brown thinks he's going to get between 25 and 28. Now you could be looking more at 27 to 30. And so that's going to be tough because, ideally, you know, you don't pay that for a slot receiver. But Amon-Ra St. Brown may be a slot receiver, but he is worth so much more to that offense with his ability to get clutch first downs. Feels like he's always open, and then he can burn it down the field a little bit too. So going back to the point about Jameson Williams, J-Mo has not had that consistent production yet to command an offer like that. Now, that could change beginning in this season in 2024, his third NFL campaign, which is going to be his first full season, assuming he stays healthy the whole year. Now, you look at the down the line for him. He's got a fifth-year option as a first-round pick. So you could be looking at, starting with this year, three more years of Jameson Williams. If he's able to put together a couple thousand-yard campaigns, you know, big touchdown numbers, then that conversation gets a little bit more interesting. But right now, he just doesn't have the proven production. So in my opinion, that's a problem they can deal with later on as it starts to become around that time of his fourth and fifth season where they have to decide whether or not they're picking up that option, which I guess is after this season. So this is a huge year for him because if he doesn't have a good year here, then you start that talk about maybe the Lions don't pick up that fifth year and maybe look to make a deal. But I personally am a believer in J-Mo. I think he's going to have a huge year this year. You know, that speed, you just can't teach it. And you see pieces of it within the offense, but they just haven't quite been able to put it all together quite yet. So I'm expecting a lot of downfield throws, the timing to be on point. You know, J-Mo and Jared Goff had 3 years to work together now, three off seasons to work together. This is the year for him, in my opinion. And if not, like you said, then he could become the odd man out.
See, guys, Christian doesn't relish in negativity. Fair, balanced, does a good job. That's why I enjoyed it. Our time flew by. We could definitely talk for another hour and a half or so, but as everybody knows, the Doc's time is precious. He's very busy. And let me just share with you guys. I just messaged Christian 10 minutes before I sent him an email. I said, look, we're doing a podcast and let's just do it now. No prep, no nothing. We just sat and chatted for 40 minutes talking Detroit Lions. That's how much he's dialed in. That's how much of a pro he is. And that's why he's lasted. Lots of writers potentially would come and go, but luckily I've worked with two writers that have stayed for the entire length. And that's the way I'm going to keep it. And you now see why. He's got the knowledge, fundamentally sound journalist, really upstanding stand-up guy, will take the heat when he needs to and is willing to understand, hey, you ain't a finished product yet. You got to develop as a writer. You got to do more. You can't have the Doc outshine you. That's never going to happen. Yeah. I need you to outshine me by a lot. And that's why he's here. That's why I'm going to look forward to many more conversations with Christian. Going to challenge him a little bit. That first answer is fair, but it, to me, it came off journalistically like, you know, I'm going to punt that question. To me, it's J-Mo. He's the odd man out right now with the opportunity to build up and earn more of a, hey, we can't lose that guy right now. You can't pay everybody. You just literally can't. So correct. I posed that question to you. It's fair. You gave the journalistically sound answer. I like it. But right now, to me, you look at it and you go, whoa, they're going to lose some players that people are going to be surprised by. And they may not even offer contracts to guys that you might be surprised, or they get outbid is another thing too. You look at it, the 49ers already started to try to make a play with offering Brock Wright in the future. Aleem McNeil mm-hmm. might get another offer. You might see some of these Lions entertain some big money offers. And this is where a draft like 2024 will go a long way to see, you know, if Taylor Decker retires or moves on, how quickly do they replace the left tackle, a key spot? How quickly do some of the developmental guys, a Broderick Martin, yeah. does he replace an Aleem McNeil, or does he complement what Aleem McNeil does? So it's going to be very interesting to see how this Lions team sustains their success. It's one thing to get there. It's a whole other ball game to stay there. And it'll be very interesting to see how this draft shakes out. We'll do another podcast, me and Christian, just before the draft, a little more nitty gritty later rounds, sleepers, what we're hearing, the buzz from Allen Park after the media has a conversation with Brad Holmes, and hearing what potential Lions say about this upcoming draft. For Christian Boer, I am the Doc, John Macaroon. This has been the All Lions Bang the Table podcast, made possible thanks to SI.com and Fan Nation. Look forward to firing it up again next week, where we get more into the nitty gritty, the Detroit Lions on the clock at number 29. And the draft is being held in Detroit. So much to talk about. Can't wait to fire it up next week.